been happening at Bailey House. For news and interviews, don't go anywhere else. We're not a rabble, we don't gabble. We're your number one for fun. We're the Bailey Babble. Bailey Babble, Bailey Babble, Bailey Babble. Bailey Babble. And that's right, folks, you are listening to the Bailey Babble. I'm Matt, your host with the most hair missing. Oh, and joining me in the studio today is co-host Bronwyn Phillips, who's been here the whole time. G'day, Bron. How are you going?
Very good, thank you.
The listeners don't need to know that you've just arrived.
No.
Shh. It's perfect. It's like the perfect crime.
Yep.
How are you going?
Very good, thank
Great
you.
Great to have you here, Bron. I'm going to get some questions for you. I've got handy. Hey, co-host Ange is also joining us in the studio. G'day, Ange. How are you going?
Good, thanks.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yes, I did.
What was the highlight?
My nails.
Oh, where did you go to get your nails done?
With my sister.
Oh, you had a bit of a date with your sister?
Yes.
Any coffee? Did you go to the cafe?
Yes.
Oh, can you invite me next time?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds like fun. I'll get my nails done. Hello, Cassis Watson. How are you going?
I'm inviting Matt.
Gentlemen can get their nails done if they choose, I imagine.
I'm actually very delighted to be doing this Bailey Babble with my support coordinator.
We do
Kylie
have a...
Growl.
I beg your pardon?
Kylie Growl.
Special guest Kylie, who we'll get to shortly. You two go way back.
Yeah, we do. I don't know when we first met, though.
All right, well, Kylie might be able to recall that. So, co-host Luke's here. G'day, mate. How are you?
Good.
Another big win to the Saints on the weekend?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Lost by a point.
Ripped off.
Yeah, we should... Whipped off to umpires.
Maybe they should have woken up and started playing football before the last quarter, Luke.
Last quarter was only a point, Matt. Don't get...
I don't think the coach would be too disappointed by that. I'm going to sneak over here and just lock the door as we're coming to you live from our studio space here at Bailey Arts. And, as Cassis has mentioned, special guest today is support coordinator... Kylie Grew. Kylie, welcome to Bailey Babble.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Kylie, how long have you been in your role as support coordinator at Bailey House?
I started in Bailey House at about August last year. So what's that? About 8 months, 9 months.
And so who do you work alongside, Kylie? Are you the only support coordinator at Bailey House?
No, currently we have 4 support coordinators at Bailey House. So, and at the moment they're actively interviewing and recruiting more support coordinators.
Okay. And so who are you guys answerable to? Who's your boss?
It's a very interesting question. I actually like to say that my boss is actually the participant, the person who has the NDIS plan. I work for them. So I work for them to make sure that they're happy with their services, that they have the right services that they have in place or need to make their life the best it can be. And so you can actually help reach your NDIS goals. I'd like to make sure that you're safe. So even though Bailey House may pay my wages, I actually feel like you're my boss.
Good answer, I would say. And if your boss is listening, they'll be very impressed with that. Ange, gee, we've made it tough for her early, for our guest, Kylie. Can we just start off, can we get it? Can you start her off with a gentle question, please?
Give me that.
What's your favourite music?
Now, you haven't met Kylie before, have you, Ange? What type of music do you enjoy?
Pop music.
Give us an example. What sort of singer?
Lady Gaga.
Is that your cup of tea, Kylie? What did you listen to in the car, for example, on the way here?
I don't know what I actually had on in the car. Isn't that terrible? I think I was a bit on Robocop driving here. I like a variety of music. I do like the music you like too, Ange. I like Lady Gaga. She's one of my favourites. I also like a lot of relaxation and classical musics. So I listen to a lot of meditation-type music and sound-type music, music bowls, gentle guitar and saxophone-type music. So I listen to variety.
Do you listen to this sort of thing at a particular time of day? Like, is this the sort of thing you'd listen to just before bed, for example?
Probably either before bed or maybe even just after work to sort of really wind down and stop my brain overthinking before I sort of can get into the next stage of my day, being spending time with my family.
Beautiful. Oh, that's wonderful. All right, Bron. You're up, madam.
What is support coordination?
What do you think it is, Bron?
Will they come and help you with what goals you have in the eyes? Yeah.
Is that accurate?
That's a very good description, Bron. So a support coordinator is somebody that is funded by the NDIS to support you in your plan. I won't jump to all the questions that you guys have coming in the future, but a support coordinator does help you link your services that you need to assist you to meet your NDIS goals. So helping understand what your NDIS goals are, even before that, is actually understanding you as a person and what it is that you like and some of the things that you struggle with. And then helping put in the services that you need to support you to meet your NDIS goals.
So support coordinators, I guess, they didn't exist before the NDIS?
Not as the title support coordinator. There have been other roles for people with disabilities, such as case managers and so forth, in the past when there was the situation of block funding before the NDIS, which was about 2013, if I'm correct, is when the NDIS, started.
Does a support coordinator decide how much funding or money somebody gets?
Unfortunately not. We're not the person that decides whether you have $10, $100,000 or anything in between or more. We are the person that helps collect the evidence from your services, such as your day programs, your occupational therapists, your physiotherapists, or any other services that you need to support you to meet your NDIS goals, as well as things that help keep you safe. Maybe you need support with things like hearing aids, wheelchairs, or other appliances. So we also help get the evidence from the service providers of why you need these types of items in your life. Sometimes it's also about where you live and what services and supports you need to live there, if that is required. And then we help present that to the NDIS and explain to them why that is necessary for you to be able to reach your goals. We will encourage you, though, more importantly, to tell the NDIS yourself, and we will then have that evidence ready to you to provide that they require. So wherever you can talk to the NDIS about what you need, we will actually support you to do that.
And that's an important word you mentioned earlier, necessary, right?
Yeah, necessary. The NDIS work on what is reasonable and necessary. So reasonable and necessary needs to be funding which is relevant to you as an individual because of your disability and what you need to help to reach your goals. So would you like me to expand?
No, that's great. We've got a lot of ground to cover, haven't we? Bronnie, I might just grab your water if you'd like. Because I can hear you having a little bit of a cough in the background. And I'm going to multitask here, Brian. I'm going to hold that for you while I think it's Cassis asks her first question. Please, Cass.
How do you become a support coordinator?
At this moment in time, you don't actually have to have a qualification or a degree to become a support coordinator. That may change in the future. But a support coordinator is somebody that needs to be very knowledgeable about the NDIS. They need to be knowledgeable also about the rules and regulations around the NDIA, and also have very good understanding of different services and providers that are out there to be able to help a participant to reach their goals. So some people may think, I want to be a support coordinator. My first question would be, what are the reasons? Because you really need to be passionate about helping people to reach their NDIS goals and to live their best life. It's not just a job. It's about helping people to actually fulfil their own lives.
Well, I detect Kylie's passion, Bron, that's for sure. We're back to you, Miss Phillips, with your second question.
What makes a good support coordinator?
You might have just touched on a couple of those things.
I think the first thing of making a good support coordinator is being able to listen to your participant, and if the participant has a nominee or family members involved, being able to ensure the participant or the client is able to have the choice and express the services that they would like, that you can provide them with good options. You'd never once give just only one option for going to do a new art class. We'd always say, well, there are multiple and here's a few. Which one do you think you would like to try? And know that if you want to try something and it's not right, then we can try something else. It's different. But also work within the funding that you have within your NDIS plan. Because even though there's four beautiful people in front of me right now, I'm sure you've all got
five or
something. Matt, you don't have an NDIS plan.
Oh, sorry. I just thought she wasn't calling me. I thought she wasn't calling me beautiful, Luke. I felt left out. Sorry, you were saying.
Even though there's four different people in front of me with NDIS plans,
you don't have one.
Matt doesn't have one, no. I'm sure all of your NDIS plans are different. So you have a different amount of funding to do the services that you need to help you reach your NDIS goals. So a good support coordinator also makes sure we put in services that are within the funding that you have within your NDIS plan.
How often should a person meet with their support coordinator?
Well,
do you suggest, is there a minimum amount of times a year you would suggest, for example?
Unfortunately, a lot of that will depend on how much funding you have in your plan for support coordination. Some people may have no funding. Some people may have only 6 hours a year of funding. Some people may have 80 hours a year of funding. So when we look at the funding that somebody has within their support coordination part within their plan, that will help determine how often you meet face-to-face or how often you would chat on the phone or meet virtually.
Okay, so we did have this discussion this morning, actually. So if you have a support coordinator, somebody like yourself gets paid from the NDIS money.
We get paid directly from the NDIS funding, which is in the participant's plan.
I was white.
I beg your pardon, Luke?
I was white.
Again.
Again.
Hey, we are going to head across to you right now, mate, in fact, with your first question. Lukey, thanks.
Sure.
Could you not kick me in the bloody calf muscle? I didn't come here to get injured.
Yes, you did.
I'm normally standing on your feet, aren't I, mate?
Yeah, so I'm kicking yours.
It's good that roles are reversed. Your first question, please, bud.
What time do you work?
Yeah, and what days, Kylie?
Well, I'm employed part-time as a support coordinator. So I work 3 days a week. So I work... My work days are Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and my work hours are about 8 o'clock in the morning till about 5:30. In saying that, I will quite often have a lot more hours of work I do of an evening and even on a weekend. Sometimes that is what we call unbillable work because I am researching things. I am researching and continuously learning about other service providers that I could help put in place for participants. And sometimes people also have things going on in their life, which is a crisis, that they also need extra support with. So I am flexible, but my main days are 3 days a week, about 8 till 5:30.
What can a day in your role look like?
It could be sitting in front of a computer, talking on the phone a lot to participants, their nominee, or even the NDIS, reaching out to service providers to see how a participant is going, asking a nominee or even the participant themselves, is there anything else that you need at the moment? Are you happy with things? Also explaining to them, someone might say, I had this question last week, that they're moving into a new house and they want to get a fridge and a bed and bedside tables. Can my NDIS funding buy that? Can you buy that for me? And being able to then have conversations with people about why those types of items would not be funded from the NDIS and your plan and explaining that to them.
Sounds like it's pretty varied. What about your office? Do you have an office here at Bailey somewhere in one of our Bailey sites, Kylie?
We do have an office at the Nepean site. So Bailey has multiple sites. So Nepean have an office for support coordination. And we also, though, do work from home. A lot of our work is also going to visit our clients or the participants within their own home as well. So, yeah, sometimes we could be on the road.
And what when you use this term nominee, can you give us, what's an example of a nominee?
An NDIS plan nominee is something that some people have. You don't have to have it. But if you struggle to make decisions on your own and you feel like it would be good for you to have someone to support you to make your decisions and to put your services in place that you need if you're unable to understand funding and service providers and service agreements, they can be put in place for you and they would help make the decisions that you would normally want to make for yourself if you were in that capacity to do so. So they are not making decisions that they want to make, is very important to understand. They make the decisions that you as the individual would actually want to make for yourself.
And I guess, is a nominee often a family member?
Most of the time it's a family member, mum, dad, brother. It can be a family friend as well. It could just be a personal friend.
Someone you can trust though, I imagine.
Someone that you can trust, but someone that you feel would actually make the right choices that you would normally want to make for yourself.
Wow, it's a varied, sounds like a varied role that you have, Kylie. Now, Ange, we're going to get to your second question, madam. We know what Kylie does now, but we want to know.
What other jobs worked in?
What other jobs? I've had a few in my life. I have been a registered nurse. So I think being a registered nurse does definitely give me understanding of multiple areas of health and well-being. I have also worked within what a lot of people would call the corporate world, yeah, so in business. So I have actually been a general manager. I've been an operations manager within the business sector. I have also been a support worker myself, and I have been a team leader of support workers as well.
And what do you enjoy about coming to Bailey House?
Cooking, line dancing, singing.
Yeah, so some of the activities.
Yeah.
What about you, Kylie? What is it you enjoy about your role as a support coordinator?
I think my role as a support coordinator, I enjoy seeing others achieve their goals and helping others to do that. So ensuring that they understand what they are able to do and helping them take small steps to actually learn new skills, build more capacity and have more fun.
Brilliant. Hey, what about, what was your first ever paid job?
My first ever paid job is...
What's wrong with that question? Is that a stupid question?
It's a good question, Luke.
That'll do me, Luke.
Do you want a guess, Luke?
Yeah, have a guess.
Guess.
What was her first ever...
What was my first paid job?
Might have been working at Macca's.
Nursing.
Actually, Matt was right. Working at Macca's.
Really?
Yes, working at Macca's.
I worked at Macca's when I was 15. Yeah? And I worked there for nearly 3 years. And I was actually, I don't know whether they're still called this, but I was called a crew trainer.
No.
So I... they're not called that anymore. So I started there just on the fries and on the counter and on the drive-thru, and then I would teach all the new ones that would come in.
Having worked at McDonald's, would you recommend people eat McDonald's? Is it, you know,
yes.
It's all done in a sanitary manner out the back there?
Yes.
Oh, it's actually pretty clean, I think. Yeah, and it's got to be, it's thrown out after a certain amount of time if it's not sold or eaten. But it's, yes. I think it's a bit different these days. Okay. But it's a good job. It teaches you good customer service.
Yeah. Teamwork.
Good teamwork, yeah. And as a young person, I had the opportunity then to also learn how to teach others.
Did you get free McDonald's?
Well, in those days we did. We had a free meal when we worked. I don't know whether they do anymore. I'm talking many years ago, so.
Oh, there you go. Well, that was a lucky guess. Cassis, we're back to you with a bit of a curly question. Your second one.
Which I did not understand a word of. What is the difference between a support coordinator, a carer and an LAC?
Which part confuses you?
I'm sort of confused what, you know, a support coordinator and an LAC is. That's what it is and what they do, you know.
What is an LAC? We do hear that bandied about.
So an LAC, an LAC stands, do you know what that stands for, Luke?
No.
It's not a position on a football field.
Yes, it is. It's full forward.
It stands for Local Area Coordinator. So an LAC is a local area coordinator, is somebody that actually helps an individual build their NDIS plan. And they can also recommend service providers to people that don't have a support coordinator.
Yeah.
Not everyone has a LAC or an LAC.
Why is that?
Within.
Why is that?
What's the reason for that?
There are different levels of plans within the NDIS, and that is based on the participant's complexity. Yeah? So how many different services and supports an individual has. Majority of people, for instance, in here today that I'm aware of, live in a supported independent living accommodation. Living in a supported independent living accommodation, majority of times you would not have a local area coordinator. You would be directly under the NDIA. If you were somebody that lived at home, that had...
I live at home.
You live at home?
Angela?
Yes, I do.
Yeah? If you don't have a huge amount of services or funding within your plan, you may have a local area coordinator. If your plan or your disabilities become very complex, it may be managed more by the NDIA. It's done on the severity and the complexity of the plan.
Do you know your? Do you know if you have a local area coordinator, Bron?
Yep. Yeah.
Brilliant. That's important.
And mine is self-managed.
Self-managed. We hear that too. What does that mean, Kylie? What does this mean,
Bron? Yeah. Okay. Isn't the NDIS just a complex world for people to understand?
Matt doesn't.
I'd be offended, Luke, if I didn't agree with you wholeheartedly.
And this is where it definitely helps to have a support coordinator that can help explain all this to you. So you can be NDIA managed within your plan. You can also be plan managed, which is when a plan manager helps you pay your bills for your services. And there's many different plan managers. Or you could be self-managed. Self-managed means that the NDIA will allocate a particular amount of funding to your plan for your services, and that you can actually pay for those services yourself using your plan funds. If you are plan managed, the invoices for your services go to your plan manager, and your plan manager then will pay for those services for you if they feel as if they're reasonable and necessary and they are related and funded within your plan. If you are NDIA managed, that means that your invoices get sent directly to the NDIA and that they pay for your services that you require within your NDIS plan.
And do they normally oversee people with more complex needs, the NDIA, if someone is NDIA managed?
It can be within more complex needs. It can be also for other reasons that they feel as if that is the best way to help manage the funds of an individual. If the individual does not understand managing the money well themselves, or whether there had been a history of misuse of funds within the NDIS, or those funds needed really close monitoring for some other reason. So there are many reasons that the NDIA will choose that to be NDIA managed funding. So, but it is not a support coordinator who decides that, it is the NDIA.
All right, and we're going to get to the NDIA. The difference, I think Angela's got a question about that coming up, about the differences between the two. Cassis, how does that sit with you now, that answer?
Better, bad, better, but there's something I don't understand. How do you know which... what's the word I'm looking for? How do you know which... plan you're managed for, whether it's the NDIS or the NDIA?
So we'll just talk... You mean whether you're plan managed or NDIA managed or self-managed?
Yeah. How can you tell?
So on your NDIS plan, it will have which category you are managed. The plan could be all managed by one particular stream, or the same plan could have, for instance, your core funding managed by plan manager, but have your support coordination funding managed by NDIA. So that is called mixed managed plan. So, and a lot of people would have that. It will be written on your NDIS plan. If you were not sure or you didn't have a copy of your NDIS plan, you can always call the NDIS and they will be able to tell you how your plan is set up. If you have access to your My Portal, and I don't know if any of you access your My Portal. Bron, you might access your My Portal.
My dad's involved. One.
Your dad does yours? Something dad does, Mark. G'day to Mark if you're listening.
So he would access your My Portal and he would be able to see your funding.
What's the
mine? Alrighty, Lukey. Your second question, please, my friend. It is a tough thing to navigate, isn't it, this NDIS?
I don't mind.
Your second question, my friend?
I don't mind.
You want me to read it for you?
No.
Would you just pick up that? Because we are on limited time. We're already running late, mate.
You're late.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. What's...
Oh, yeah, well, you've got an image there of all Bailey House participants.
Yeah.
But our question for Kylie is, does she only work... You know, yeah. What does Kylie...
What does...
Being a Bailey House support coordinator, does she only support...
Does a coordinator only support Bailey House... Get off my farm.
You mean people from Bailey House?
People from Bailey House.
Good question, Luke. So the question is... Do I only support people that have plans that are at Bailey House? No. I support any participant that has an NDIS plan who would like me to support them as a support coordinator. I have participants...
Come on, Matt, you forgot that.
Well, I didn't know the answer. That's why we've got Kylie.
I have people that I support that have... no services with Bailey House besides support coordination. So they may live in their own home, they may do activities with other groups and support workers, they don't go to Bailey House Day Program, they don't go to Bailey House SIL. It is actually a participant's choice, all of their service providers, and it could be seen by the NDIS as having a conflict of interest if a participant has all of their services under one provider. It is better that a participant has services over numerous different providers, and if for some reason the participant wants their supports to be in one provider, they need to be explained that what the risk of that is, and that it's very important that the participant is always given multiple options for all of their services. Like if somebody wanted to go to a day program, we would say there is a day program at Bailey House, there is a day program at Willara, there is a day program at OC Connections, there is a day program at SASE. There are multiple other day programs that you can access, and these are the things that you could do at them. And we give you the choice where you would want to go. Yeah. So I do support many people that are also having no services at Bailey House.
Yeah. So it sounds like, as you said earlier, a good support coordinator would research. Ronnie, I think we're up to your question three.
How do you get a support coordinator?
How did you get yours, Bron? Do you know?
Oh, I forgot. Yep.
What about you, Ange? Do you have a support coordinator?
Yes.
Do you know who that person is?
Sandra Moen.
Oh, great. Do you know how you got Sandra?
In the S?
Yeah, some research maybe. Mum or Dad might have got on the internet, where most people find their answers these days.
So a support coordinator needs to be built into your NDIS plan. Not everybody can have a support coordinator or has the funding for one. So if the NDIS feel that you require a support coordinator to help you implement the services and explain and build the capacity for you to understand your NDIS plan as well as the funding, as well as how the NDIS works, they will most likely allocate a support coordinator for you. Your choice, though, is who you choose to work with. Yeah? Even if somebody comes to you and says, I'm your new support coordinator, if you don't like them, you can choose someone else. So you can research, or your nominee can help you research a different person to help you support, be your support coordinator.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's all...
Thank you, I've got one.
The choice is yours if you are an NDIS participant.
Thank
you. Cassis, question 10, which is your... Your third question, please.
10?
What's question? Question 10 overall, but your third question.
Oh, confusing. God. Do I? It'll be up to what I said there because this is confusing me. The buggery. Do I?
Can't answer.
But you'll probably have to, you know, it's really light on this a bit more.
Come on.
Do I have to have a support coordinator?
No, you don't. You don't need to have one. So if you don't feel that you need support with looking for new services, if the NDIS hasn't built in to your plan that you don't need a support coordinator, you don't need to have one. Even if you have been given funding for one and you feel as if you don't want to engage a support coordinator, you don't have to. That is still your choice.
Conversely, could I have multiple support coordinators?
You.
Yeah, Luke, could somebody have more than one support coordinator? Well, not me, but could somebody... An NDIS participant like you, could you choose more than one support coordinator, Kylie?
During the plan, you could have more than one. Having more than one at one particular time is quite complex, because the reason for that is who would be doing the work for you, and you would be having both people bill your plan for the same work. Mm. So, but if you, for instance, had me and then next week you didn't want me and you wanted Bob, then you would stop. You can say, Kylie, I don't want you as support coordinator anymore. I now want Bob.
Who's Bob?
I'm just making up a name.
don't Google support coordinator Bob. He might not exist, or there could be thousands of them. Sorry. It was just an example. Now, Ange, we're over to you. We're over to you. Thanks, Ange, for your next one. Not that one, Ange. I believe it is your second last question. This one here. Looks like someone's celebrating, right? So what's our question?
Happy?
She looks really happy, doesn't she, the woman in your picture? Why would she be happy, you think?
Like the job?
She likes her job. I reckon you're right. And I reckon she might be happy, Ange, because she... People can't see this, but she's in front of a computer and she's punching her fist in the air like she's had success.
Success.
So we want to know, Kylie, can you tell us about a recent success story you've had, a recent win in your role as a support coordinator, just as an example?
A win is when a client or a participant says that they're happy and they're happy with either my services or whether the new service that we've linked them with could be a new cooking program, could be a new art program, and that when they feel like they're reaching their goals. A recent win for me has actually been helping a participant find a home that was homeless. So that has been a huge win.
That's so sad.
Beg your pardon?
That's so sad.
It's sad, but it's rewarding when you can help them find a home that they can then settle into and be with new people and have new supports and connections.
How did they get like that in the first place?
It can be very complex. Lots of different reasons.
Yes, Cassis, that is a conversation that could go on for some time. Different people have different circumstances. Luke.
Come again.
Your third question, please, mate. Because I think if we look at the time, we are running late for lunch already.
Doesn't matter.
No, I'm not stressed too much.
We'll wait.
But Kylie's got people to see and places to be.
1 o'clock. 1 o'clock's lunch.
You've called it today, have you?
Yes.
All right, your next question, please, mate.
Do you care... Camping.
Yeah, well, these are all... You've got an image here of people doing all different things. Some people call these...
Hobbies.
Yeah.
Hobbies.
So a question for Kylie is...
What... Hobbies.
Does she...
Do you go camping?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I do go camping. I love camping. I love connecting with nature. So opportunities to go camping and to be out near the water or in the hills is definitely something I would like. So I love other hobbies. I've got a gardening and cooking and spending time with family and friends, going walking and being with animals and particularly my dogs.
Whose names are?
Well, I have only one left, unfortunately. One died this year. So their names are Bella and Zach, but Bella is still alive with us and Zach has now gone to dog heaven.
And don't forget you enjoy a bit of meditating. That's a hobby, I guess.
I do love meditating. Meditating, yoga.
Matt knows it.
And what, Cassis?
Sorry, what kind of dog was Zach?
They're cavoodles. So a cross between a poodle and a cavalier.
Yeah, I've heard of those.
And hello to Hayley if she's listening. I think Hayley might have a cavoodle.
Don't you?
Hey, we've got to get cracking, Cassis, with your next question, which is a pretty important one, in my opinion.
I'm confused about this one. What is a service agreement?
I get a lot of hard questions today, haven't I? So a service agreement is an agreement between a service provider and you as a participant. And it outlines basically how they will work with you and the services they will provide you and how you will also work with them. So it sort of gives you an understanding of the boundaries as well as what they will provide you and how much they could bill your NDIS plan. A service agreement is not essential for all services and you don't have to have a service agreement to get, for instance, a new cleaner or to get a support worker. But without a service agreement, it makes the water a little bit more muddy on how much they're going to charge you or how many hours they were going to provide services. Some people have different cancellation policies. So if you have a service agreement, this should be written within your service agreement. So if you cancel 2 days beforehand, you know whether you're going to be charged for that service if it was in your service agreement that they can charge you 48 hours before your service.
So you would recommend people have a service agreement? It's wise?
I think it's a very good idea to have service agreements. It puts guidelines in place for both you and the service provider, and it gives clarity and understanding about what you're both getting and receiving.
And we are up to your next question, which is another challenging one probably for Kylie to explain as we get close to the pointy end of our interview. We want to know the difference between the...
India S.
And the other one that finishes with...
SDA.
Well, that's an N as well, actually. NDI.
A.
Yeah. Any idea, Bron, what the difference between the NDIA and the NDIS is?
Is it one of them agency and one of them scheme?
Yeah,
that's true.
Very good.
She's onto it.
You are onto it, Bron. Well done.
But what does it mean?
The NDIA is the government agency that manages the NDIS, which is the scheme which creates your plan and your funding. So one is setting in all the rules and the laws and the guidelines on how it is to support people and what people with disabilities, whether they're physical, intellectual, emotional, or, you know, what we call psychosocial disabilities, how they should be treated. So all of these rules and everything come from the NDIA, and how workers and service providers need to also support people that have a disability. The NDIS is the insurance scheme, which is basically your plan and the people that help you manage your plan.
Yeah, so it was all devised or set up by the NDIA.
Set up by the NDIA, that's correct. In response to the United Nations thing of disability. I forget the name. The words got out of my head.
Charter?
Not charter. But it's similar. Yes.
Yep. Not charter. Beautiful.
The words got out of my head.
Yep. Yeah, but it's, relates to human rights.
Exactly right. That's what it's all about. It's human rights around disability. That's why the NDIA was created, and then the NDIS has put in the insurance scheme for that.
Luca, you've got our penultimate question, which means second last. Thank you, mate. You worry about your notes, I'll worry about mine. Talking about the spending of the... Yeah. This was an interesting chat we had too over the last couple of weeks. You know, what you can and what you can't. Look, the question is, actually...
How do you...
Or what can you...
What can you...
focus, bud.
What can you spend your money on?
Really good question, Luke. This is where we talk about reasonable and necessary. Things the NDIS do not allow you to spend money on is what we call everyday items or everyday expenses that we all need, whether it is because of a disability or not. So the NDIS does not allow you to spend money on food, furniture, clothing and rent. So these things would be considered required whether we have a disability or not. If you need to have certain things in your environment because of your disability, like a certain type of bed, for example, because of your disability, the NDIS may allow that. But just because you need a bed, no.
We interviewed the girls from JAM recently who create adaptive clothing. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure they said that is funded.
That would be considered because that would be needed because of your disability. There will be evidence that needs to be provided of why you need that particular type of adaptive clothing.
Yep, so you might need proof from your doctor or something.
So you spend it on...
From an occupational therapist normally, a lot of the evidence comes through what's called an occupational therapist due to meeting your capacity needs.
Do we spend it on the NDIS spends on like your kind of Ada and
what was that thing, mate? On your what?
On your on your person or on your kind of Ada
communicator? Are you saying, but no. Coordinator?
Yeah, that's
sorry. On your coordinator, yes, you can use your money to pay for your coordinator, right, Kylie?
You can use your NDIS funding to pay for the services you need to help support you to meet your NDIS goals. It can be used to buy some things which we call consumables or assistive technology, such as Bron's got a pretty amazing wheelchair here. That would be used as assistive technology and could be used to, you could use your NDIS funding for that. But just because then Cassis is sitting on a chair, because she doesn't particularly need any particular type of chair to sit on, that wouldn't be used to use your NDIS funding.
Okay. Yeah, so if Cassis wanted to get a comfy chair for home?
Probably not. Not unless there was a reason why Cassis needed a particular chair because of her disability or struggles with getting in or out of a chair. That could be seen as evidence. But if it was just a nice comfy chair, we wanted a, you know, beautiful recliner or a nice padded leather chair or something like that, the NDIS would see that as not reasonable and necessary and not be able to use your funding.
What I've actually got, my mum and David. No, hang on, sorry, start again.
No.
I actually had one of the chairs I bought from down the back at home, and that wasn't comfortable. So my mum, David, and I went out to a furniture place. I can't remember what it was, and I chose a new chair.
Fantastic. But Cassis would have had to use her own money for that.
Most likely. Most likely. Look, you know, every individual is unique. And I think to say whether you can or can't, it all comes down to the individual's disability and their capacity to be able to do things with an everyday item. So you can't say someone can't. It's about evaluating it, having the evidence for it, and then discussing it with either the NDIS or your support coordinator.
Brilliant. And I guess if you're not sure, just ask. Ask your support coordinator, and if you've got a good support coordinator, they will do the research for you. I'm really conscious of the time, and I can't see my screen. I hope we're still recording, Bronnie, for your very last question, which comes from colleague Dan. We call this Dan's Doozy. Dan likes to create every week. Kylie and Bronwyn, this week it is?
If you had your own support coordinator, what would you get them to help you with?
I think one of the first thing for anyone to have to get their support coordinator to do is explain your NDIS plan.
No, this is Dan's doozy. This is aimed at you.
Oh, at me?
At you.
Well, that's what I would want. Someone to explain my NDIS plan what I am funded for and what I can do and what I can't do.
Brilliant. Hey, can I just say a huge thanks to the co-host. Thanks for joining us, Bron.
Thank you.
And and Cass and Luke, sorry, I'm just conscious of time. Kylie, a huge, huge thank you to you for giving up your time, which I know you volunteered your services today, so we're really, really grateful for that. And we're really chuffed to have someone so passionate in your role here at Bailey House. And to our loyal listeners, thanks for dabbling in all of our babbling. This has been the Bailey Babble.
Have some money.
We didn't get to use that.